more.
I'm Megan, single mom of two teenagers. I used to be such an optimistic person, but then the betrayal and the divorce devastated everything I had hoped for. I feel stuck. It's hard for me to believe that my future is going to have anything to look forward to.
And that's one of the things that we cover here all this month. We are talking about growth. My name is Robert Beeson.
And I'm Kimberly Mitchell, and we're so glad you are here.
We are really glad you're here. Yes. Today we're talking about growth related to something that I had never really given much thought to, but I'm really excited to get into this. We have a special guest with us, a therapist and an author, Nicole Zasowski, to talk about, check this out, this is interesting, the growth tool you're not considering. Celebration. Welcome, Nicole. So glad that you're here.
Yes. Oh, I'm so happy to join you guys. This is fun for me.
How are you doing today?
I'm good.
You feeling celebratory?
Yes. Now that I'm here, sitting with the two of you.
Well, we're so anxious to get into this. Before we get started, though, I just want to say to single parents out there listening, you need to know that you are not alone. There is hope.
So true. Both Robert and I were both single parents for a long time, and we know how difficult this road can be. And we also know that you can be transformed because of this difficult season you are walking. And sometimes we tackle the tough stuff, but today I'm looking forward to a little bit of celebration and what that means in this season of life.
So both Kim and I are here to tell you that not only is there hope, but you can overcome all that you've lost. So welcome to the Solo Parent Podcast. Nicole, you are a licensed marriage and family therapist and the author of a new book called What If It's Wonderful? What led you to write that?
You know, when most people read the title and they see confetti on the cover, they assume that it was born out of a season of joy and celebration and good news. And in part it was, but it was mostly born out of a season that could largely be characterized by change and loss. And when you go through a season of loss, whether that's life looking different than you thought it would in a certain season, or a loss of a loved one or a betrayal, whatever that looks like for you, there's the loss itself, but then there's the cost. And the cost is the impact to your identity and your sense of safety. And it took me a really long time to realize that part of the cost of that hard season was that when I entered a season that was characterized by more joy and more good news and celebration, my joy was accompanied by a lot of fear. I was hesitant to fully embrace that joy because when you've been through so many hard things, as you guys know, sometimes it felt easier to not hold the joy than to hold something that might break. Most people don't realize that joy is actually the most vulnerable feeling we feel because it is automatically accompanied with the possibility of loss or disappointment or even devastation. And so that just sent me on a journey of a quest, really, of understanding what does scripture have to say about celebration and joy? What does neuroscience have to say in terms of how God made our brains? And how can I have a healthier approach to joy and celebration in my life?
Yes. Oh, I love that.
So good. I'm looking forward to getting into this because so many of us single parents have experienced so much hurt and disappointment. So many of those hard things that it can really cause us to be afraid to hope again. We want to grow in this season, but often it feels like the best days are behind us. Rarely do we think of celebrations as a means to grow, at least for me. I rarely think about that because, frankly, it feels like there's so little to celebrate in a single parent's life. The day in and day out can just drain us, and all we can do is just get by, it seems. So today we're going to talk about this, how we can approach life with an expectant heart and the courage to trust God's good gifts again. Today we're going to discuss the growth tool you're not considering, celebration. But first, before we get into this, if you are driving or you're doing something using your hands, and we say this every every time, Nicole, because, you know, people listen to this in different things. They're doing different things, so you can't always write things down. But we want to make sure that people know that if you're driving, or let's say you're a dermatologist injecting Botox into somebody's face.
I'm listening to the podcast.
And you can't write something down. It's okay, because it's all going to be in the show notes.
Listen, Nicole, I don't know what he's going to say truly every single week. And I'm like, I just sit here like so expectantly just waiting to
But
know.
I feel like we need to be equal opportunity, no matter if you're a dermatologist, if you are raising cattle, if you're parachuting, whatever you're doing.
Yes.
What
don't
we're going to talk about is going
to
be in our
while
show
you're
notes.
Doing it.
That's right.
I love it. And I love the show notes. Oh. I have kind of a two-part question for you. First of all, how is celebration an important tool for our growth? Because mm-hmm. I honestly never, ever would have thought of it like that. And how is it helpful and hopeful to consider celebration a discipline? Mm. Never would have ever thought of that either.
Nope.
Like, you know, I think we just assume, oh, happiness just comes to us. Or celebration
yes.
just,
yes.
it's like whatever. A reaction.
Yeah, it's a reaction. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's how I looked at celebration too. I looked at it as a reaction to good news
yes.
or a reward for some sort of accomplishment
yeah.
or goal achieved. And I think we see our joy and our celebration mm. sitting on the other side of a dream realized mm. or a
yes.
goal achieved or some sort of change mm. in our circumstances. And certainly I don't want to disparage celebration uh-huh. that does look like that. Some celebration does, and that's good and beautiful to celebrate it when it does look like that. But we have so narrowed our definition mm. of celebration mm. to be a reward or a reaction
yes.
instead of what it actually is, which is a rhythm that huh. helps us cultivate joy.
Huh.
One of the most helpful pieces of information to look at for me as I was researching this was I looked in the Old Testament mm-hmm. and where all those beautiful feasts and festivals
yes.
are outlined for us in terms of how God's people celebrated.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I noticed that was a through line to each one was God's people didn't celebrate when they were in the mood to celebrate or when all their work was done and they wanted to reward themselves or because they had time and it was a good time to do so.
Right.
They celebrated because it was time. They celebrated in rhythm, huh. whether that was once every 50 years or once every 7 years or whenever that feast or festival came.
Yeah.
And that just really made it clear to me that this is a rhythm of remembering God's faithfulness
yeah.
and goodness,
yeah.
not simply a reaction or a reward for our own.
That is so good.
I know. Just taking that all in for a second. And doesn't scripture tell us, like, to be joyful in mm-hmm. all things? Like, I don't do that well.
Well, I think so many times we feel like it like we just said, it's just a reaction. Like,
yeah,
what do I have to celebrate?
Totally.
I don't, you know, but...
Why
I like the idea of the discipline. The
I know.
Rhythm of,
I know. I like that word rhythm. Like that, there's something. Okay, I want to hear more. But why are we then so hesitant to celebrate? Do we
yes.
feel like we don't deserve it?
That is a huge part of it. There are about five main reasons. This is not an exhaustive list.
Okay.
But in my conversations with my clients and in my own life and in my personal community, these five reasons seem to rise to the top.
Uh-huh.
The first is what we've mentioned, just that our joy is accompanied by a lot of fear.
Yes.
It feels easier to keep our expectations
yes.
low. It
mm-hmm.
feels maybe even we've convinced ourselves it's more responsible
mm-hmm.
to
mm.
not hope or
right.
or not dream. The second is what we just talked about. We're waiting for a reason to celebrate
right.
and we think, well, I'm perfectly willing to do that when I have a reason to do so, and we're not
yes.
considering it as a discipline and as a rhythm. The third mm. is that we're not sure how to reconcile this invitation mm. to celebrate with our value of humility.
Mm.
We worry that celebration is somehow self-aggrandizing
right.
or draws attention to ourselves,
right.
Which is not true, but we
right.
can talk about that in a minute. And the fourth is, you know, we're all a part of community mm-hmm. and not everybody is living the same exact
right.
stories
yes.
at the same time.
True.
And so we worry that what does it look like to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those
yeah.
who mourn when we are living different stories?
Yes.
And how can we join each other's experiences well without
yes.
being hurtful? And then the fifth, which was really true for me, and you guys have touched on it in what you've shared about your own
mm.
stories, but just, you know, the relationship that I had with God in my
mm.
painful season
yeah.
was so precious to me. In the ways that I grew through the struggle was something that was really, really special and important. And I was sad having grown up in the church my whole life and been a believer most of my life, that I had no context for what it looked like to engage with God deeply in my joy. And I was worried that I would lose that growth, that I would lose that intimacy with Christ in the light of my joy that I had so clearly in the dark. And I think I was afraid to step into that fully because you know, I just didn't know what that looks like in the light of my joy.
So what happened in you that in the midst of your difficult season, you decided to celebrate or to move towards joy?
Yes, through a lot of practice. But when I started to experience more joy, I have this moment of holding my first son after years of infertility and many, many, many miscarriages. And actually holding him in my hands. I talk about this in the book. God just gave me this picture of, in the light of my joy, this joyful moment, holding literally a gift of joy, and God holding me in that place. And that he wasn't separate from my joy and on call when I needed him in my next season of suffering, that he was engaged in that moment. I think of Elizabeth and Zechariah in Luke 1, and such a beautiful juxtaposition of Elizabeth so readily received God as her celebrator, even though he'd been so present with her as her comforter in her season of struggle. And Zechariah, her husband, was slow to trust God as his celebrator. He wanted proof before he could trust the promise. And I am way more like Zechariah. But what I love is that, you know, God's faithfulness, of course, does not depend on our faith. His goodness is not a function of our goodness. But and Zechariah still received the gift. There's just so much joy available to us when we can encounter God in those moments, too.
Yeah.
As a single dad raising three girls, this is something I wish I had. If you're searching for the perfect way to inspire and empower the young girl in your life, look no further than the NIV Kingdom Girls Bible from Zondervan Publishing. With over 400 engaging features, colorful illustrations, and helpful notes, this Bible is perfect for girls ages 8 to 12 as they learn about the strong and faithful women who came before them. This Bible brings stories of women to life and shows how their faith and strength can still inspire girls today. To order or check out a sample, go to NIVKingdomGirlsBible.com. That's NIVKingdomGirlsBible.com. This Bible has an amazing design and is easy to read. Most importantly, it is a great resource for girls as they grow in their faith and learn about women who have impacted the world. Don't miss out on this opportunity to nurture her spirit and illuminate her path. Find out more, including how to order and see a sample at NIVKingdomGirlsBible.com. Every girl deserves a faith-filled adventure. The link is also in today's show notes.
How do painful seasons shape our celebration?
They reorganize what we love. And what I mean by that is when I was writing this book, I took a really honest look at my life and when I had been disappointed and realized, yes, certainly some of my disappointment was life looking different than I had planned or hoped or the or the missed opportunity. But a lot of my disappointment was because I had expected more joy from the gift than it was meant to give. And so there was a profound reordering of what I love. And what sits at the center of our affection will determine the satiation of our joy. And not that these things aren't good, a relationship, a baby, whatever of the family that you dreamed of having. Those are all good things. There, no one is questioning that they're gifts. But even good things, the best gifts in life, are not meant to be the source of our identity and security. And so for me, those seasons of suffering just showed me I was expecting more joy from some of those gifts in my life than they were meant to give.
I think you said reorient. If you didn't, I just
reorganize.
Inserted that.
Yes.
Reorganize.
Yeah.
It's so true. Because when I went going through the hardest times of my solo years, it reorganized. It did reorient things that I hadn't spent time valuing as much as, you know.
True.
But I talk about it often. Like when things are taken away and the rug's pulled out, you have to reorganize. Mm-hmm. Now that I think about it, you know, Kim and I talk about this. We're both remarried now, but there are still things that I miss about those days of being a single parent.
True.
Because I can see how I didn't put words to this, but how I was celebrating things that the closeness that I was having, encountering with my daughters, the transfer, the intimacy that I was feeling with God.
Yeah.
Had I not gone through the struggles, it wouldn't have, I don't think it would have come to fruition as much as it was so evident to me in those seasons. One of the things that I think about when I think about celebration is, well, you're just trying to pump yourself up or feel good about things or whatever, you know, and it's just positive thinking or whatever. How can you talk to us about the difference between celebration and escape? I believe that you write about this. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between celebration and escape?
You're absolutely right, and you're not alone, that celebration has been misbranded in a way as something that can take us away from Christ or is a means of escaping or emotionally numbing. And sometimes we wouldn't even be able to tell based on the behavior itself, depending on what it is. It's more how you're using it. And the short answer is that escape is it's a reaction to pain, and it's something that takes us away from our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with other people, or our relationship with God. It disconnects us. Yes. Celebration is actually an avenue of connection. It's an action. It's a discipline that draws us to God, to each other, and makes us more aware of how we're feeling and the truth about who we are and our safety in God's economy. And so it's that rhythm, it's that discipline that draws us toward and connects versus an escape that numbs.
Huh. Both are choices.
Yep.
Right.
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 Yes.
But one is a choice to disassociate, to get away from, to numb out, and the other is to almost head into, right?
Yep.
It's. That's why I've never really thought about.
I know.
You know, we think about looking for things to be grateful for, and how that's. Yeah, and I totally believe in that. But this goes beyond just being grateful for. Mm-hmm. It really is. When you never thought about what you said, you know, throughout the Bible, they do have celebrations, and we have celebrations in our culture. Mm-hmm. You know, every year we celebrate National Single Parent Day or Mother's Day certainly some. You know, religious traditions have things. That's not because people feel like it.
No.
It's because it's a part of the fabric of who they are.
Mm-hmm. Question. I want to go back to number four for a second. Was it like, explain that to me again. Was it like we feel bad for having?
Yeah. And it can look both ways. Either we're the ones celebrating and we're afraid that our joy is going to bump into somebody else's pain.
Yes.
Or how do we celebrate someone else, especially when their dream steps on the toes of our own?
Right.
So basically, when our circumstances oppose someone else's, how do we celebrate someone else or celebrate ourselves sensitively?
Yeah. What are some ways that we can practice celebration today, even if our circumstances don't change? And I'm going to add on to that. How do we also teach our children to, like, is this a daily thing that we practice? Like, do we pull out the good dishes? Is that celebration? Like, you know, my mom's like, take the plastic off and let's go. You know, do we dance in the kitchen with the kids every night? Because life is life and we're here. I don't know.
Yes, that last third of the book, I continue in biblical truth. I continue in psychological research, but in personal story. But there's a lot of very practical ways. And I'd love to talk about a couple of my favorites.
Please.
So my favorite on-ramp, it's just a really simple way to start. And all of the practices, I should say, in the book are accessible regardless of what kind of season you're walking. If this book sounds really great and you're thinking, I'm just not in a season of celebration right now, all the more reason to pick it up, because these are practices available to all of us. And the first one I want to talk about is called savoring. Mm. And the reason that I love this is savoring celebrates the ordinary.
Yeah.
So this isn't about waiting for a change in your circumstances. This is about living a beautiful life with God right where you are. Mm-hmm. And the other reason I love this is there's some things going on in the brain that are not so helpful to our desire and habit of celebration. And real quick, there's this thing called the hedonic treadmill, which means that our brains rapidly adapt to joy.
Really?
So what was really exciting or thrilling or great news that we thought would make us not want for anything else, our brain rapidly adapts to it, and that fades quickly into the background.
Interesting.
The second is a dynamic that most people are familiar with, but it's worth mentioning here. Our brains are just stickier with painful information, and they're really efficient, and they're only going to want to pick up what they think they need, which most of the time is painful, large things that we need to worry about or they think we need to worry about. And then the third, we have this awful tendency to tell our joy how it can be improved upon. So, you know, if you imagine giving a presentation and you felt great about it, there were lots of smiles and nods, and maybe you got a few compliments on your way back to your seat, and then you sit down and you start thinking, oh, it would have been better if I shared that story.
Or the
they said I was a good speaker. They didn't say I was a great speaker.
Right.
All these things are going on in the brain. When we leave our brains on neutral, they lean negative. And so savoring is our practice against that. And the way that you do this, I like to practice it in the present. You just take a snapshot of this moment that you're living right now that brings you joy. Could be watching a child play in the backyard. Right. It could be conversation with a friend. I mean, snapshot. I had a friend who just the fact that her four teenagers were sitting around the table together was enough.
No doubt.
I'm sure the dinner didn't go perfectly, but just the fact that they were there was enough to savor. And you just ask your five traditional senses what they're going to remember about that moment. So what do you see?
Yes.
What do you hear? What do you smell? What do you taste? And what do you feel? And that helps your brain capture that moment in a way that it can carry it forward and recall it and celebrate it later. The second practice that I love, you talked about gratitude earlier, and I'm so grateful that gratitude has been a more common conversation in our culture. It helps us notice and name what is good. So the noticing, all of a sudden we're scanning our environment for what's good. The naming puts a structure around it that helps us keep it. What we don't often talk about, because gratitude does increase our joy, we don't often talk about the fact that Thanksgiving, actually expressing the gratitude that we feel, doubles the joy that we glean from gratitude versus had we just felt grateful in our hearts.
Explain that.
So if I am talking to a friend and I'm just thinking to myself, goodness, I'm grateful for this person's presence in my life. When I actually say, I need you to know the difference that you make being in my life. Here's how I have grown because of our conversations and the way that you've loved me in this season. Here are the specific ways my life is different because you're in it. And I actually tell him or her why I am thankful versus just feeling really grateful for that person. Not only does that hopefully increase the recipient's joy, but it doubles the joy that I would have felt had I just felt it. And so I often find that we stop short. We don't verbalize that. And when I talked earlier about how I had no context for what it looked like to engage with God in the light of my joy, Thanksgiving is the avenue we've been given to engage with God in our joy and to cultivate that intimacy with Him that a lot of us know in our suffering. But Thanksgiving has been a beautiful avenue of celebrating with God, celebrating the gift with the giver.
That's so good.
I know.
Savoring and Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's always something to be thankful for.
But not just feeling it.
I know.
But actually offering Thanksgiving.
I know, because sometimes.
And that's where the discipline is.
That's exactly.
That's not a.
And the vulnerability.
And the vulnerability.
Sharing it is a. Turns the heat up on that vulnerability piece. For the receiver too. I talk about receiving affirmation in my in my book as well, because that is an important, easy way to celebrate, but one that is more vulnerable than we think, and most of us are not very good
I'm receiving.
Yeah, it's a vulnerable experience to receive. Affirmation and believe the beautiful truths about ourselves.
Yes, because often we're like, oh, no, no, no.
Yeah, you know? We deflect or we're sarcastic or we changed our response in some way.
The one of the things that I read, and I want to ask you real quick, and I didn't prep you for this, but I read something in some of the materials that, I was going through before you came about the idea of how grief infects our prayers. What is that?
The story of pain that I had lived prior to the season that I'm referring to now infected my prayers, in that it talked about protecting myself with pessimism, where I would pray for the miracle, but prepare to mourn, keep my expectations low. A similar reaction to our pain that we use interchangeably but is different is cynicism. And where it's different is it doubts people's motives. And for me, what this looked like, it got projected onto my relationship with God. I was cynical about God's motives. I knew He could, but I would kind of have this perspective of, He'll probably do that for somebody else and not for me. He'll probably bring the breakthrough in somebody else's story and not in mine. And I was also protected in my prayers. I didn't have an expectant heart. I kept praying. It wasn't filled with any hope. It wasn't filled with any wonder about what God could do. That's one of the reasons my book title is What If It's Wonderful, is it interrupts all my other what if questions that I tend to carry around. You know, not very many what if questions end with hope or positivity. What if I fail? What if I'm disappointed? Or what if I'm rejected? This what if it's wonderful became my prayer of fighting against where grief had infected my relationship with God.
So what did that look like? When you say that it became your prayer, how did you counteract the, like, practically, did you just change your prayer language or your way of thinking? What do I do to move in a different direction?
Yeah, so baby steps.
For sure.
And really the question for me became, what does it look like to celebrate when I'm suffering? Because it's not going to look like the party, or this isn't about toxic positivity and just like fake it till you make it kind of thing. A lot of my prayers were simply, God, this is how I'm feeling right now. Going back to that rhythm piece, if I think about celebration as a rhythm of remembrance, of remembering God's faithfulness in my story, remembering the ways that He has moved in my heart and my circumstances, but definitely my heart, that gives me hope and a wonder about what He's going to do next. So reflecting on the ways that He's moved in my story, recalling what is true about His character, because a lot of us, like we talked about, see our celebration as requiring a change in circumstance. Sometimes it's just remembering a God that doesn't change and who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so then I had more courage to start asking myself, what if it's wonderful? Because we don't and you guys know this, uh-huh. we don't hope because of what we receive. Yeah. We hope because of who we receive. Mm-hmm. And regardless mm-hmm. of the outcome of my mm-hmm. circumstances, mm-hmm. Yeah. God's going to be there. I'm yes, promised his sure presence is. In yes. in joy and in pain. I'm promised his presence.
Yes.
And that's what makes it safe to hope.
Mm. I love that. Mm. Yeah. Well, as we wrap up, let me ask yeah. just one last question again. I'm kind of going off a script, but
go for it.
You in your counseling, you have a client that's with you that's a single mom, and it's like, yeah, I get this intellectually or whatever. What can you say to that single mom or dad about the value of this to their life, mm. the growth that will come as a result of reorganizing?
Mm-hmm.
What's not the carrot at the end of the stick, but from your experience in mm-hmm. your life, what has changed growth-wise in your life because of choosing this discipline?
I'm going to go back to that reorganization. It really highlighted gifts that were standing awkwardly in the yeah. wrong position of my heart.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even good things,
right.
You know, like a relationship or, yes. or like, you know, your dream for your family or, you know, breakthrough in a child's life, whatever that looks like. Good things. But if they're standing awkwardly in the wrong position of our heart, we're going to feel it. And I'm more able to see when that's happening and more able to celebrate God being at the center of my affection.
Yes.
Mm. Other good things falling into their proper yes. place.
Yeah, that's really good. Kim, I love what she had to say.
I know.
So much good stuff.
Uh-huh.
If you think back on your life as a single mom,
yes.
how do you think things might have changed, or what would you have done different based on what we've heard today?
I think sometimes we just think like this is big and daunting and not possible because of my circumstance. And
right.
actually, it is.
Yeah.
It is. I probably would have been a bit more grateful sometimes. Although I would say I'm a pretty grateful person.
Yeah, you are.
But you know what? There's always, we all have our times, and maybe I would have taught my kids better this rhythm of, I just, that word, I don't know, kind of sticks with me, of celebration and joy that God gives. And he tells us to live in it.
Yeah.
What would you
well,
have
I,
done?
I mean, I agree with you that it's a discipline, it's a choice.
Yeah.
Everything that we talked about, the practical steps
yeah.
of like, two things, savor
yes.
and Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever had language to that. I've always thought, okay, I'm actually pretty good at looking for things to be grateful
yep.
for.
Yeah.
Fairly optimistic person.
Yes.
I'm, you know, dream the impossible, whatever.
Yes.
But then speaking up
yeah.
to someone or whatever, the Thanksgiving part of it,
mm-hmm.
I don't do that. And then the savoring thing.
I know.
Like taking a snapshot of just like, okay, what it is right here.
Uh-huh.
With an exchange between another person, our kids, or whatever, or just listening to the birds.
Yes.
And I've heard psychologists talk about, like, just that's part of grounding, is like pay
right.
attention to the sounds, the
yes.
senses.
Well, that she said, like, what are all of your senses telling you in this moment to take
right.
this snapshot so it becomes a memory?
If we're really serious about growth,
yes.
This is a discipline. This
absolutely.
Is a, you know, a rhythm that we can employ
yes.
immediately.
And I think when we do it too, well, it changes us.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids, I mean, we say it all the time, but they watch us.
Yeah.
You know, and if we start to change and maybe we're more gentle or we have more joy in our life, they'll kind of watch how and what we do.
Yeah.
And what a great thing to teach them as they grow and move on in life. And
I just had an experience. Oh, first of all, two things. Yesterday, I had lunch with two of my daughters.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about stuff. We were talking about, you know, how I did as a single dad. We were talking about just our relationships and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
My girls was like, I don't know what I want to talk about because I'm going to end up hearing about it on your podcast anyway. Like I'm going,
that's
no,
right.
Exactly. Like if you listen to my podcast, you know
right.
that wasn't exactly true.
That's right.
But then something today happened where I had been thinking a lot about one of my daughters and how gracious she is to people and just how much I really admire that about
yeah.
her. And so I made a point this morning of like stopping her before she left the house. And I just, to her point, Nicole's
yes.
point about Thanksgiving versus
yes.
just thinking it, I let something that was my thought
yes.
become a verbal
mm-hmm.
connection. Because
mm-hmm.
you're so good at this, Kim. You recognize people and you are grateful for them and tell them what they, you know, but I don't know that a lot of us take the time to take that thought
mm-hmm.
and turn it into a Thanksgiving.
I'm not always good at it, but I feel like if God is putting someone on my heart and mind, there must be a reason.
Right.
But I remember times in my life when people did that for me. They reached out like, hey, super random, but you're on my mind today, so I'm just whispering a prayer for you. And I'm telling you, like in moments where I didn't think anyone cared.
Yeah.
And actually just had it happen not long ago. A friend, I don't know, she came to mind. I'm like, hey, and she doesn't even live near us. But I'm like, just thinking about you today. I don't know why. I don't know her super, super well. But just you know, I'm going to whisper a prayer for you today. And she texted me back. She goes, I'm actually in Nashville right now. Mm. And could we please have lunch? And we had lunch the next day. And she shared with me just some painful stuff. And yeah. just went, she goes, your text changed everything for me.
Yeah.
Like, but it has happened for me. And I'm not great at it all the time. But it is like what that did for your daughter. Walking out the door, walking into the day differently because she heard that.
And the problem is we don't do that.
We don't do it. I know.
We have these thoughts, but to turn them into actual dialogue, into words, into blessings on each other.
I want to say the stuff now before a funeral.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like, let's say them now.
Right.
Let's let people know when it matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that some of the things that we talked about here today are resonating because I don't hear this talked about much. But one of the things that I love about what we get to do here is that we now take our conversation and we broaden this to single parents around the world. So what that means is you can join one of our groups. It's totally free. There's no secret handshake. There's nothing to join.
But we're going to start one.
Exactly. And I would encourage you to download our app and join a group 7 days a week. You can join most of the days, 4 out of 7 or 5 out of 7 have 2 meetings
it's
a day.
So amazing.
Where you can just click a button and join the conversation with single parents around the country that are walking in similar shoes to what you're walking through. So download our app. You'll have access to all the groups, to chat rooms with other single parents around the world. There's a lot available. I do a daily devotional that is just 10 minutes of breathing and reflection and scripture. And there's just a lot there. It's a totally free app. Search Solo Parent app wherever you get your apps.
Yes. What else would it be?
You never
know. That's so funny. We are so grateful, truly grateful that you guys take the time to listen. We know your time is precious. We love you. You're part of our community. And we seriously come into this studio every week and just go, we get to do this and be part of this family. And it really, really means a lot. And we love hearing from you. So do please write in. I love that stuff. So just let us know how you're doing. And only let us know if we're doing okay. I'm just kidding. And do subscribe now, if you haven't already, on the Access More podcast platform. We love Access More. There's all kinds of amazing podcasts on there. Or wherever you get your podcasts. We just never want you to miss an episode.
And leave us a comment on social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Search Solo Parent Society on any of those platforms. I want to leave our time together with our guiding verse, like we do every single episode. And it is from Isaiah 41:10. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Thanks, friends, for being with us. We'll see you here again next week.